Okay, welcome everybody. I want to thank you for showing up here because this is a big deal. You know, there was a thing that we used to say, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about some stories of my experience when I was in what I call psychic school. But we used to always talk about the reality that happens when people are about to go into a, the reality of what happens when people are about to go into a place of opening their intuition, which is oftentimes resistance comes in. So congratulations for even showing up. This is impressive that you did. And congratulations for those of you who are watching on the recording. Both of them are completely welcome in this space. I recognize differing schedules and time zones and everything else that is a factor. So I know one person just had to drop off here, so she's going to come back on in a second. But so while we're waiting, I wanted to get a sense of anyone here. Do you identify with being intuitive? Do you identify any part of you that has an intuitive capacity? You can either chat your response, or you can unmute yourself and share verbally.
Well, I'm unmuted, and I would say yes. I would say yes.
How does it show up for you, if you don't mind sharing?
Doesn't matter what I call them, signs or inputs. It comes in different ways. Sometimes it would be like a person's name. It's like, and I just like, all right, I need to contact them. I want to get a hold of them. Sometimes it's things that just come and they're just signals. Sometimes and group situations where people are interacting, I don't know if this is the same thing, but I can kind of sense things about people. It's almost like not seeing inside of them, but just like I'm seeing their whole or their truth or something. I don't know. That's a sample.
Yeah. Great example. I'm just going to read in the chat. I'm going to chat on the other screen here. Gabby says, I have had more interactions with nature since the passing of my daughter, animals, insects, feathers, feeling trees, energies. I don't know yet what they mean or if I'm going crazy. Oh, that's a great thing to say. If I'm going crazy, you are not crazy. You are intuitive. And this is the reality of what happens is that we end up immersed in this culture that believes that we have to prove it. We have to have a scientific proof of anything in order for it to be real. And if we don't have that, we go crazy. And as a side note, what I'll say is that a lot of cultures will believe that those people that we would classify as mentally ill are actually expressing intuitive abilities. So for instance, if someone is schizophrenic and they're speaking with spirits that don't have a body, maybe they're actually speaking with spirits that don't have a body. And so what we do is we make them crazy. We lock them away. We medicate them. We say, you have to actually conform and be in this exact structure or else you don't fit in society. So thank you for that, Gabby. I appreciate that. Yeah. Just the feeling sense. Okay. Any other thoughts? Do you feel that you are intuitive in some way? Do you find any messages that come through? You can either chat or share verbally. And we can always go right into the practice because this is...
I just wanted to add on what Gabby was saying, the going crazy part. I mean, you and I have talked on this about this one-on-one that sometimes it's just like, stop or turn it off or, you know, turn, turn the volume down a little bit. Not very often, but yeah, it's not volume, but yeah, it's like, what does this mean? And so sometimes I want to just put it down and walk away, because it just gets I'll leave it at that.
Yep. It's a lot. It's one of the things that I will share. I'm going to get into the grounding practice first, and then I want to share a little bit about that, because it's important. It's important, this feeling that we can't put it down. We'll touch on this throughout the four different practices that we're going to do today. But I just want to say at the beginning, is just, this is your power. You are not a victim to it. And so the reason why we train intuition is so that we can have that perspective, rather than the perspective that is oftentimes the case when we have this natural ability that has been untrained. It's sort of like being, you know, I was watching the movie Hercules, the Disney version of Hercules, which is a terrible rendition of the actual myth, but that's a different story. And my daughter, you know, got a 6-year-old, so... anyway, so there's this beginning of that particular story is that he's this half mortal, half immortal person living on Earth. And he's got incredible physical strength, but he destroys things with it because he doesn't know how to utilize it. And so the training process is actually what is most important in the story. It's not about what you were born with or what you have. It's like, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to mold it and shape it into something that is more powerful for you? All right. So with that, we're going to just drop in, because the first thing I want to do is get you here, and the folks who are watching, get you to wherever you are. Folks who are watching on recording. Okay. So we're going to just do a meditation that's going to be what I'm calling the five senses meditation. Just going to get us grounded here, get us present to where we are, and present to our bodies. This is the place where intuition lives. Intuition is that communication device between us and us being the bodied part of us and the unbodied part of us. But the senses are really a huge part of that. So we'll begin by just, I'm going to invite you several times throughout this practice today to either close your eyes or leave them hooded and just gazing on something. And the reason why I give these options is because, A, sometimes when people close their eyes, they go into a state of dissociation, so they may not actually be conscious and present. B, sometimes if there is significant trauma, closing the eyes can actually create a space of flashbacks or, you know, a feeling of mistrust. So I'm going to trust you and your body, that you are in communication, you're talking, and you're able to decide which of these is the right place for your eyes today. It may change too. So eyes closed or eyes either hooded, and focus in one spot. Just notice your breath to begin with. Notice how it enters through your nose. Ideally, you're breathing through your nose. Notice the tingling sensation as it travels up your nose, touching your third eye, entering your lungs, and filling your body with life. And just notice if your breath feels shallow or deep, if it feels hard to access or quite easy. Notice if there's pleasure or pain or discomfort present in your breath. And we're going to drop into the senses one by one. So inhale. And draw your breath energetically to your ears. And just for a few moments, we'll be in silence, and invite you to hear three sounds. And next, draw your breath to your mouth. And I'll invite you to notice the taste, the texture that's present in your mouth. And next, draw your breath in and allow it to fill your whole body. And notice, what do you feel? What is the most significant sensation that your body feels right now? Now draw your breath to your nose. Draw the attention of your breath to your nose. Inhale and notice what you smell. Then finally, I'll invite you to open your eyes again and draw your breath directly to your eyes. Look around your space and find something blue. Notice the blue. Now find something green. And now just pick a different color or something to lay your gaze on. Notice that. Okay. To come out, just give yourself a little shake and just notice if anything felt really inviting in that practice, or if things felt a little bit uninviting, easy, uncomfortable, you know, what was the range of experience that you had there? Those were playing with the gross senses, and we're going to play next with the subtle senses. Gross, not necessarily meaning disgusting, but gross meaning obvious, real. As in gross matter. It's a term that's often used in Ayurveda. And sometimes if I teach Ayurveda, the opposites of subtle and gross, people get very confused. So I always want to make sure that we're defining that properly. Doesn't mean it's disgusting. It just means it's the opposite of subtle. So everyone is intuitive. This is not a fluke. I've been working as an intuitive healer for about 20 years, a little bit more. And I just want to say that you can easily do this work. This is not something that's unique to me. Sure, some people have a bit of maybe a predilection for it. Some people have that awakening that comes, you know, where there's very, very turned on intuitive abilities right from the get-go. And some people do have a little bit of a harder time accessing it. But we all have this ability, every single person alive. And it's a matter of practicing. It's a matter of first getting permission, and then it's a matter of practicing. So I actually trained for this. I'm going to tell a little bit of a story about the beginning of my psychic powers. And I attended psychic school in Boise, Idaho, of all places, when I was living in Boulder. Many years ago, more than 20 years ago at this point, I was 20, I think it was 21 or 22. I was 22 when I started. And I was a very logical person, but I also had this very deep draw toward mystical things. And so when I began working with my very first teacher, whose name was Tamara Wells, before I went to psychic school, I was really drawn to her because she was this mystic, witch, intuitive, shaman type of person who could never afford to pay her rent and always kind of stumbled onto whatever blessing she had. Like that was how she ate all the time, is somebody would just kill an elk and say, oh, hey, do you want some of this in your freezer? And that was how we would eat. I lived with her for a month, and it was an intense experience of that kind of level of trust and grace in God. Not something I'd recommend for everyone to do. So Tamara was a big believer in ripping off band-aids. I am very much reformed of that at this point in my life. But what I mean by that is that she believed that you could learn best. You first of all, in order to access the intuition, we have to let go of a lot of our triggers, because we will immediately see some energy and we'll get triggered by it. And then it puts us into our own story rather than the other person's energy. And for those of you who have been following along with the succession of what I've been writing about on my blog, we were talking about generosity, generous gaze last month. The intuitive ability, for the most part, when you're reading another person, we're using the generous gaze, we're using the outward gaze. So Tamara believed that we should just completely dive into the deep end of all of our pain and triggers and traumas so that we could have a much easier time reading people. And what this looked like was oftentimes just being out and about with her. I studied with her for about 2 years, and a lot of this happened all the time. But being out and about with her, starting conversations with perfect strangers, people that I would never communicate with on a regular basis, and just starting conversations with them and then asking them if they would like a healing. And because I was her student, she would just sort of go, here you go. And believe that since she had then given me the permission and some basic tools for reading energy, that I was able to just simply read the energy. And for the most part, I did, which was what was the surprising part about it. I don't train like that anymore. I don't teach like that anymore because it's very difficult and it creates a lot of pressure on the situation. It's also not great to be going around and just being reading everyone, a bunch of random strangers' energies. I don't recommend that. It wasn't very clean, but what it did allow me to do was to practice. I would be on the streets. I'd be in coffee shops and restaurants and convention centers and really, really odd places. And I got to the place where I got very confident in my ability to read with distraction everywhere. So many times I gave readings and healings for people that, you know, we'd be surrounded by chaos behind us, you know, like a city streets or, you know, just a lot of people, a lot of noise, a lot of talking. And so it allowed me to focus my energy directly on that person. And within that place, I learned to develop my own self-validation, which is where we're going to focus today for the most part. I'm not going to give you anything today that says, yes, you are right. Yes, you are, or no, you are wrong. I'm not going to do that for you. But what I'll ask you to do is, as you're going through these exercises, to really begin to self-validate. And that process can be more challenging or less, depending on where you are in your life. But this is really the place that intuition begins to unfold, is when we're able to say, I know this to be true, and I don't need any proof of that. So that was my tangent coming back to the experience of permission and training. Okay. So I had many, many experiences with Tamara. And then eventually she was a little bit too wild and I wanted to get some more structure. So I ended up going to a program that was taught by her teachers. And I would travel once a month from Boulder to Boise and go and study, have these intensive experiences where I was starting with a 13-hour drive from Boulder that we usually did overnight because I was 22. And you know, you arrive and I could be without sleep and I didn't have the same problems I do now at 45, where I would never be able to do that. But what I found there was, you know, intuitive people, like the part about what I say that everyone is intuitive, the people that were in my class really proved that to me. These are people that I would have never interacted with in other parts of life. I remember a woman who was a grandmother, and she looked like Betty White. She was kind of a Betty White hair and face. But that was one person. There was a woman who was, thinking of her as kind of a porcelain doll. She was like what you might describe as like a kept woman. She had a very, very wealthy husband, but was extremely intuitively aligned and had wonderful power. There was a former army officer who ran into aliens in the field, and that was what his interest came from that. And he would tell crazy stories about those things that were largely top secret and things that he probably shouldn't have told me. But all of us together in this space, we were so different. And yet every single person was able to tap into this power. We were able to look at each other and tell each other things that we shouldn't have been able to know about our lives. And that training, that experience, it really broke me open. I got broken up open significantly with Tamara, but this particular training really broke me open, because in it, I really learned how to read past lives, how to heal trauma, both from past lives and the current life, how to communicate with spirits who are not in bodies without them taking over, and how to turn on and turn off these skills, which I really had to test because I moved to New York City very shortly after I finished this. And I'd be on the train, on the subway, and I realized very quickly that, you know, I was not in Boulder anymore. New York is a difficult place to be an intuitive. And so I really learned how to say, I'm not going to turn this on right now. And then in a safer space, I will be able to turn it on. I will be able to use that ability. So we have kind of an on-off switch when we're practiced with it. But the main thing that I learned from my intuition, and the thing that I'm going to impart to you right now, is that when we begin to listen to the intuition, to Gabby's point, we will feel like we are going a bit crazy, because what that looks like is suddenly we start to make different decisions. Suddenly we make decisions that are not what people expect or maybe want us to do. Because what we're doing is we're removing ourselves from the influence of the shoulds that come from the outside world. You should behave like this. You should have this type of job. You should, not go on this crazy adventure. You should stay home instead of saying yes, or you should say, you should do the opposite, right? Like you should say yes, but you choose to stay home. So most suffering that people experience is a result of living in misalignment to what their true desires are. Most suffering that people experience is a misalignment to living in alignment. Let me say that again. Most suffering is a result of misalignment to one's own desires. Living according to someone else's beliefs, living according to past understandings of the way things operate, living in denial of their own desires and urges. Intuition will put you squarely in touch with those. And the deeper you go into it, the more unapologetic you will be about the things that you want and the things that you don't want. So you're going to get a few eyebrows raised. This is not something that is going to be very easy to continue to be a people pleaser and maintain an intuitive understanding. You cannot have both, because the intuition will continuously come in and remind you, hey, you're out of misalignment. So be aware of that. Be aware of that. And if that feels scary to you, just stop listening. You can shut off your computer, you can walk away, and you can have a different kind of life. But I guarantee you, if you want to have a life that is extraordinary, then you will have to at some point come to terms with the messages that your intuition is giving you about what that extraordinary experience looks like. So, questions about that? How does that feel? The idea of living in alignment. Living in alignment with your desires. Scary, exciting, a little both. What does that bring up for you?
It sounds wonderful. And the times where I feel that, the fleeting times when I feel that, or the times when I feel that, it feels right. It seems right. It is right. And other considerations just don't have as much weight.
Yeah.
So yes, it does feel, it does resonate. It does feel right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Those fleeting times. That's a really great way to do it. I'm just going to frame that experience like that the fleeting times when you are in alignment. And the idea is to begin to notice those fleeting times and move closer and closer to that experience so that they're no longer fleeting, but they're actually the primary experience. And then in the chat, we have feels good, but there is a mystery around it. Don't know what it looks like yet. Can't tell you what it's going to look like. That's the beauty of this. You know, we can make a lot of guesses. And the thing that I like to always say about intuition is the game of certainty, throw it out the window. Because intuition will lead you to a place. And then immediately, intuition will say, you're going to learn this experience, and then you're going to say no to that. So the thing that, like, so for instance, when I moved from in Mexico, I moved from this really wonderful place, that Marinalco, which is this little mountain town. I loved it. Beautiful friendships there, beautiful nature. And I got this really strong intuitive message, move to Merida. This is this bigger town. And it ended up being one of the most transformative experiences of my life. We opened up our healing center in September 2019 before COVID hit. So not a great time for people to be coming down and doing work with us in person. But the experience of being there, it was like I had such confusion because it was so clear. This is what I need to do. And yet when I got there, it was so clear. I need to leave. And rather quickly. So you will, yeah, there will be a mystery to it. There will be a mystery to it. And yeah, so just checking the chat here. It feels scary, like something is possible. Feels like something is possible, but scary. Yes, there can be some fear around this. And that will come up. That will come up. There will be oftentimes, I did not grow up with religion, but I experienced a lot of people who did and have grown up with religion and had a lot of strong reactions that came from religious programming that said that this was the devil's work, or, you know, that this is going to send you to hell. You know, I happened to have the karma to not have any religion in my house and to have some, you know, somewhat agnostic parents. And that allowed me to explore spirituality in a very different way than folks who came from a very strong religious background. So there's no dogma here. There's no dogma here. But it can feel scary for also because it can feel scary to become the agent of your life. You can't blame someone else when the intuition is in charge. I'm just reading a direct message. Gabby, I'm just going to say yes. And it's a little bit more complex than that, but for right now, just say yes. Just because I'm not going to repeat the question because it was shared in direct message. Okay. So we're going to dive in to explore four types of intuition today. Now, I have heard, I was trained in these four types of intuition. I was on TikTok recently, and there was somebody who was like naming like seven types of intuition. Okay. And I just want to say this, that don't get too caught up in like, these are the four. Like, that was what I got annoyed with this TikTok video, because you're just like, there are these seven, and these are the seven ways that intuition can come. Okay, fine. it's a matter of categorization. If in this goes for everything within spiritual work, this frankly goes for the scientific stuff too. Even science isn't exact. Even science changes its mind. Even science has different opinions. So why would we expect anything different from spirituality within the chakra system, right? Like you probably are familiar with the seven chakras, but there are actually many, many, many different maps of the chakras up to like, there are like 14, there are just five, three, you know, it's all of this is an experience. That's all it is. So don't get too hung up on saying, here are these four types of intuition and there are only four. And just like I would tell that person with the TikTok with saying the seven types of intuition, maybe there's more. I want to really invite you to experience intuition in whatever form it comes on, it appears to you. And these four are just simply a roadmap. These are just going to be a way for you to experience, because anytime we are in this space of the vast unknown, the more we can do to create categories and structures around these experiences, the easier it will be to access them. So you'll see this in many parts of yoga, for instance, why we know that the breath is important. We know that the breath is critical for bringing life force in, yet we have these specific pranayama practices that go in specific ways and work with the breath in specific patterns so that we can begin to categorize and avoid overwhelm. So these are just a roadmap. These categories, these four categories we'll work with, they're just a roadmap, and that's all it is. Okay, so I'm going to go over these four. What we're going to do is I'm going to share each of the four. And then after I share each one, we'll do a little embodiment practice that will allow you to tune in and experience it. So the first one, which is the thing that I feel is the most common and easiest to understand, however, can be the most messy, is called clairsentience. Clairsentience is the sensation of the body. Something that I have come to really embrace as a powerful form of clairvoyance, or rather of intuition, because it is so strong. However, I was trained to not read through this space as often because it can be messy. You know, so for instance, you see somebody walking down the street, and you immediately feel this frozen feeling, and you feel your peripheral vision cuts off and your breath gets quickened, and you say, oh my God, this person's got ill intent, which could be true. That could be a message from your intuition, or it could be that person triggers you because they remind you of someone else in your past who did hurt you. It's really common. It's very easy to either be triggered by past trauma or social conditioning, or it's very easy because the sensation happens so quickly, it's really easy to gloss over. So this is why in a lot of my one-on-one work, what I'm doing is helping people to understand what they're feeling in their body so that we don't gloss over it, so that we can get these messages that are here. The thing that to remember, if you're working with this one, and I really believe that everyone can work with this one, it doesn't have to be messy, is just to be aware of your triggers. These are your teachers. Your triggers are your teachers. They are not your masters. They are simply an acknowledgement of, oh, I have a little bit of a wound there, and it's something for me to be present with. The second way to play with this particular type of intuition is to work with it after an event. So for instance, 3 months after you have a big falling out with a friend, and then you can go back and go, I remember 5 months ago having this feeling in my stomach when we were talking, and I had a feeling that it wasn't right, and I didn't really know how to place it, but I'm going to validate that feeling in hindsight rather than during the moment, because in the moment, we can get really caught up. And it's far easier to work with it as a reflection tool to give yourself that self-validation that we need so that it becomes stronger and more clear in the present moment. So that when we're walking down the street and we see that person and we go, I'm tensing up. I'm like, oh, that's just actually my social conditioning. That's not, has nothing to do. I actually don't feel safe, or rather I don't feel unsafe. So we're going to just do a practice to tune in to your body. And this will be a really simple body scan. And what I'll tell you is what we're going to do is play with it. You may or may not be able to answer the questions that I will guide you with. You may not receive answers. And if that's the case, it's perfectly fine. The fact that you're feeling your body sensations is amazing. So we're going to do a short body scan. And I'll ask you to just notice the sensations that come. And as they come, ask the question, what does this mean? And if no answer comes, be patient, be quiet. It's always nice if you are really having a hard time to get any kind of answers is to ask it in a yes or no question. So for instance, is this a feeling of anger? Is it a feeling of jealousy? Is it a feeling of bliss? So it gives a little bit more choice to the discerning part of you that is helping to make this answer come. So go ahead once again, either eyes open or rather eyes closed or hooded. And just again, coming back to your breath, noticing your breath. How is your breath? The breath is the key to communication with the body. Just noticing from the top of your head, pausing anywhere, by the way, as I go through, pausing anywhere where there is a stronger sensation. Starting at the top of your head. Exploring your face, your jaw, your neck. And again, anywhere that there is a sensation, pausing and asking, what does this mean? Or that simple yes, no question. Into your shoulders, arms, down the length of your spine. Your chest, your belly, pelvis, legs, feet. Just noticing what's here. Asking, what does this mean? Or does this mean that I feel blank? And if you still get nothing, it's okay. And coming out, you can just open your eyes and flutter them and gaze around your space to get present back again. Any big ahas?
I had a bit of a coughing fit earlier when we were first doing our grounding because I was breathing deeply and I've had this cough. And it's kind of a lot of a story, but I'm going to try to make it short. I went on a couple's trip overseas. I came back 2 days later, my sister got married, and 3 days later, I was meant to leave for my next overseas work trip. So that was three continents in 7 days, 6 days. And I got so sick that I couldn't go on my second trip. And so it was really disappointing in a lot of ways, but I ultimately feel like I definitely made the right decision, because I still feel kind of crummy. And I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm coughing. And so this is really where the intuition comes in. This is my problem with intuition. It's not that it doesn't exist, it's that I don't check in enough with it. And unless I check in, I feel like I don't receive it until it's just a laundry list of things that need to change. It's like, why haven't you been listening? Here's the laundry list. Uh-huh. But anyway, so I got just information about why this is coming in my throat particularly, and why it won't. And what I don't have the answer to is why it won't leave. Like, what do I need to do to get it out, mm-hmm. like clear for my body?
Yeah.
So, but it's definitely from my couple's trip.
Uh-huh. Right.
It was just not enough of me present in the couple's trip. It was doing the whole like small to fit in sort of situation.
Yeah.
Quiet to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
Superficial conversations, too much, too long.
Yeah. Yeah. And what happens when we're not heard is that we tend to find a way to make ourselves heard. Which is, you know, now you're coughing up a storm.
Totally.
They can't avoid hearing you now.
My poor husband can't sleep either. So we're. And he wasn't even the problem. But I kind of didn't realize that much that there was a problem during the trip, but now it seems like really obvious. Like, of course you did.
Yeah. This is exactly how the body works. And this is where, you know, with clairsentience, this is oftentimes why I say it's better to look backwards and then go, I was picking up on something. I was feeling that like imbalance or whatever you want to define it as. And then when you have that self-validation going, it is far easier to go in the moment, next couple's trip, you're like, ooh, I'm gonna make a different decision. Like maybe I'm gonna step out of the room, I'm going to shift the conversation, whatever you feel like you need to do. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna move to clairvoyance. So clairvoyance is oftentimes what people think of when they think of intuition. They think of like these Hollywood scenes, you know, where somebody stops in the middle of the street and they're taken over by, you know, a vision that is very disruptive. Or there is a spirit or a ghost that appears and says, I have a message for you. Okay. All of these things can happen. I'm not saying that they don't. I'm saying that just it's important to remember that it's not usually so dramatic. And the third eye isn't an actual eye. It is an energetic eye that is able to see energy. It is able to see subtle shifts in the matrix, as it were. So you might not see things in the way that your physical eyes do. And people get caught up on this one because they're like looking for the way that I see my hands. They're like, I want to be able to see visions this clearly, like the way that I see my hand. And it doesn't always appear like that. It can, but it doesn't always appear like that. The fact is, like, I was trained to not ever use my open eyes when I did readings and healings. I actually was trained to always have my eyes closed. And it was really helpful because it allowed me to develop the ability to see without seeing. And actually there was a past life I got one time, and this is from one of my teachers. And she was saying that I had a past life where I used to read people from behind. So they would sit behind me so that I'd be actually reading from, it's the same thing, it's the third eye, but it's just not focusing on their visual presence in front of me. The sight is the strongest sense that humans have. We become extremely reliant on it. And therefore, in the desire to read energy, to tune into the subtle stuff, it becomes a crutch. We look for things as if we can see red. But what we're doing is we're sensing the energy of red. One thing about color too, I want to say, people, you will see a lot of things on Instagram and TikTok and all these other places that say, oh, if your aura is red, or if you've ever had an aura photo, right? Then they give you that little card that says, if your aura is this color, it means this. It's not true. And what I want to share with you is that my understanding of what red is different from your understanding of what red is. So this is the way. The other day I was doing a reading for someone, and it came through this like houndstooth pattern, and she was, you know, asking me like, what is that? And it was this fascinating thing. It was like, it's not about you having this houndstooth pattern that you can go around and say, like, I have houndstooth all over me. It was just, that's the way that I interpreted her energy. That's the way that my mind was able to categorize what was actually going on. So it's as if we're all looking at the same thing, but we just have a different language that we use to describe it. So we're going to play with this. We're going to actually play with you reading my aura. And for those of you who have gotten readings and healings from me before, you'll know that the first thing I ask you to do is to say your name three times. This helps you to tune into that person's energy. This is where you'll get things like the houndstooth up here. And so I'm going to do that in a moment. I'll say my name three times, and you're going to have eyes closed, or you can do the eyes hooded. And I just want to invite you to just see what you see and not put any like, oh, am I making this up? Or is this what I believe to be about true about Sonia's aura? It doesn't matter. Let it all be true. What if it were all true? And again, we'll do the same line of questioning. What does this mean? What does this mean? And again, you can do the yes or no questions that allow you to get very specific. Does it mean that I'm very open today? Does it mean I'm very closed? So, okay, let's dive in again. And I just want to say, if you do see strong visions, then that's okay too. You know, I just want to always say that, like, some people can see spirits like clear as day, but it's not always as common as you think it is. Okay, so eyes closed or eyes hooded. And just breathing again, always coming back to the breath, always coming back to that place of embodiment that breath allows. And imagine that there is a screen about 3 feet in front of you. You can see it like a movie screen. And I just invite you to take your psychic squeegee, maybe even some psychic glass cleaner, and just begin to clean off this screen, just be able to wipe off anything that has been on there. This screen is what you can invite when you want to see energy, and what you can let go of when you don't want to see energy. So if you're in New York City on the subway, it's not a good time to take your screen out. Unless you really want that kind of experience. Maybe you do. I don't recommend it. Now, I'm going to say my name. And on the screen, invite you to see my energy body. You want to call that my aura. You want to call that my chakras. You want to call that some combination of the two, whatever, or something else that you're familiar with or making up. Just see and notice, and then ask, what does this mean? Sonia Catherine Semyon. Sonia Catherine Semyon. Sonia Catherine Semyon. What do you see? If you see something, ask, what does this mean? Allow whatever you see and whatever interpretation you receive to be true. When you're ready, open your eyes. You can just throw a little bomb at that screen and explode it. For now, you can always call it back. Big ahas? Anyone see anything? Anyone read my aura? What's going on with me?
That was super fun. I've never done that before. I can hardly manage my own intuition. So I've never really knowingly done it about somebody else. But so the first thing that came up for me was orange. Mm-hmm. And so what does orange mean? And it was a bubbling life force.
Mm.
And it was, what does a bubbling life force mean? It means a giver of life. Mm. And so it wasn't just like your daughter, but it was also like blowing air into things that give it like life, like, it was really neat. Like it was like there were opportunities, of course, but there were people that you were giving life to. That it was like giving them like more breath than they were able to have before previously, mm-hmm. or something, you know, like really expanding the life, bubbling the life. Yeah. And then the other thing was like a tabby cat. So it stayed with that orange theme. And the tabby cat was sort of I'm not a cat person. And so I'm sure that how it landed for me is different than it lands for other people, but it was kind of like, it was, first of all, it was very soft and like you want to touch it. And then the other hand, it was kind of like, but I want to be in the corner and I want to be left alone and I will come to you. So, so it had some of that energy too, but it was all very sweet. It wasn't bitchy. You know what I mean? I might've said it that way, but that's not what it was like, but it was very much like, I need my space here and then I will let you touch me when I'm ready for that.
Oh, that's a great reading. That's a great reading. It's also, I have an orange tabby cat and she was at the beginning of this call outside of my door trying to get in here. So
I love it. That's awesome. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cat people, but I didn't know that.
Yeah. But that's a great, like, so what you did, Lindsay, was you followed that line of questioning. And this is what it's about. It's like, it's, we get hung up on, I should have like this, like there's this Louise Hay book. It's a very famous book, not very famous, but very popular among this crowd. Probably like You Can Heal Your Life. And it lists off all of these, you know, you have this ailment and therefore it comes from this. I don't believe that that is the way that things really work. What you did, Lindsay, is how I have understood life to exist, how I understand energy to exist, is that there it requires some individual interpretation. We can't just simply say, oh, you have heart disease, therefore you have not been able to be open to love. Like, who knows? That's dependent on the person. And so what you did, Lindsay, is you said over and over again, I could hear the question of like, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? And that's all you need to do when you're reading something or someone. So nice work.
That is totally new to me. So thank you.
Yeah, good work. You're on it. You're right there. You're right there. Yeah. Read the teacher. What else is going on?
So for me, it was like a little bit of an overwhelming experience at first. I could feel like light pulsating in my eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, like when something is too bright at first. And then, so for me, it was also first orange. But the way I interpreted that was just, it made me think of like fire. So I thought it was like, okay, this is just the energy, like raw energy kind of coming through. And then it kind of became like settled. And it was more, you know, I didn't see anything, you know, like things like a cat. Sounds pretty cool to be able to see a cat. But I then felt like that kind of raw energy went into a very, very peaceful, like turquoise blue. And I felt, I don't know if you were thinking or feeling, it was like you were trying to make it easy for, or like make it like a peaceful, like easy experience for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Great, great tuning in. I love that both of you were orange, even though you have different interpretations of what the orange is and different ways. So even though Lindsay saw a cat, Gabby didn't see a cat, it doesn't mean that one person's is better. Some people see things through different ways, you know, so, and that's why we're practicing all four of these types of intuition so that you can begin to see like visual is stronger for me. Auditory, which we're going to move to in a minute, is stronger for me. Right. So, and then what we do is we then say, here are my strengths. I'm going to rely on those and I'm going to work on building up the other ones. It's like training for the Olympics, Hercules, right? You know, focus on building up the skills that we don't quite have as strongly, but we might have some that are very good and we don't want to just overlook those either. Thank you. Thank you. And I wasn't trying to do anything. That's the beauty of it. I am though trying to create a peaceful environment, like based on my experience of the two types of training that I had, where Tamara threw me out to the sharks versus having this really easy, slow process of being in a classroom and being, you know, guided by actual lessons. That's my preference. Great. So let's move on to one of my favorites, which is clairaudience. This is actually like one of my strongest sources of intuition comes from clairaudience, which is the hearing sense. This one typically is talked about as living in the throat and up to the ears. And what this is like, I hear voices. This is what this is. I hear voices. And sometimes, like just like with clairvoyance, with seeing, you know, the energetic ears aren't the same as your physical ears. So sometimes I hear things that are very strong, but it's always for me, this, I know that it's an energetic thing. So I'm not going to confuse like, hey, did you say that? I know that there's almost like I can actually hear a sound. It's like it's as if it's speaking inside of a like a tin can or something. And this is I'm a writer, so I hear intuition in words. You will find that your intuition will relate to your particular life skills. So this one, however, the most important thing to do to develop this is silence and space away, you know, from music or any kind of auditory stimulation. It requires us to be still and to be willing to hear. Be still and listen is the key for clairaudience. There are all these things that are trying to reach us through the noise, but they can't break through it. So we're going to just practice this. We're just going to do a minute of silence. And that minute might feel insanely long, or it might not feel like it's long enough. But in this minute of silence, I just want to invite you to just hear what comes up with absolutely no judgment. This is the thing with all of this, that you cannot, you kill intuition with judgment and shame. So the minute we start to say, I didn't really hear that, or I shouldn't hear that, or that sounds like the wrong thing, the wrong kind of voice, you're going to listen for whatever voices are there. There will likely be one, when you start to listen really well, there is a voice that is a bit more persistent and gentle and soft and doesn't have the urgency of other voices. That's where we begin to differentiate, is that urgency. Urgency is like, I had a client who, somebody in her family received a message that she was like, this has to go for this client. And the message was extremely urgent. And it was a very disturbing message, actually. And we talked about that as like the urgency. Higher self doesn't work in urgency because everything is in perfect timing. Now, there are going to be times where you have to act quickly. I'm not denying that. But the urgency is a little bit different. The urgency of like, right now, go. That's a bit more of the different voice. Sometimes it's the ego, sometimes it's something else. So let's tune in and just notice what voices are here and see if you can begin to identify one that you can trust. So we'll just do a minute of silence. And I like to time these things so we can pay attention to it. So again, just beginning with some breath. And I'm going to shut up. Okay, that's our minute. Obviously, if you have more time, it's easier. But I'm curious if anything came up in the silence there.
The last one was pretty clear to me. The clairvoyance, but this one, I mean, I hear things. There's the obvious sounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I wouldn't say I was able to filter those out. They were just there. We were just there. But I've got to say that I think I got in the trap, one of the traps you said don't do, and that was like, oh, am I picking out something because it's coming because I'm hearing it or because I'm feeling it? I felt stuff coming in through my skin. Mm. and that kind of distracted me, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
So I'll have to try it again.
Great noticing. You begin there. I don't expect you to be a star student on day one.
Tomorrow.
You've had however many decades of being told that you must prove anything before you can rely on it.
Has to have a rationale.
Intuition is extremely unrational. it can be rational. It can make perfect sense. And it's like, okay, this totally aligns. But sometimes it's like just downright crazy. And you're like on paper. But then what happens is that if you listen and you go with it, suddenly the crazy didn't seem so crazy in retrospect. This is why intuition in retrospect is wonderful. I believe we can do so much work of recovery and healing. Like, it's not about just prevention of things. It's about making meaning of your life. What's happened? What's the madness that's happened? So I'd encourage you, Greg, to, or anyone else, if they had difficulty with it, to do this for longer, just to be in absolute silence for longer. Set a timer. It's a really good idea to set a timer for these things, because otherwise the mind's like, how long have I been here? What am I going to do next? But just noticing the sounds, or if you're accustomed to, for instance, driving with music on or a podcast or doing dishes with podcast or music, then every once in a while, just have nothing. Go for a walk with nothing. Don't do a phone call. Don't, you know, do anything except for be with the sound. And you will begin to attune your inner ears to the voices of guidance. So the fourth and final intuitive sense that we're going to play with today is claircognizance, which is that knowingness. It's a knowingness. This is actually, I intentionally put this one last, because I intentionally built in all of these lines of questioning and the other ones of like, what does this mean? This is where the claircognizance, it's sort of known as the boss of the other intuitive senses. It's the interpretation tool. You might find some alignment with, if you are familiar with the buddhi of yoga, the higher intellect, this has a great alignment to it. I also feel like this is it's an alignment of, you know, these people that are out there, and maybe you've experienced this in some ways too, where you know something, but you've never really studied it a whole lot. Einstein, I always point to Einstein as someone like, you can see in his eyes, even though there's all these stories about how he like almost flunked out of school and, you know, he was told he would never make it. And did we miss the third? We did. Okay. So Gabby, we did clairsentience first. We did clairvoyance and then clairaudience. So number four is claircognizance. And so Einstein, while he wasn't book smart, he was quite intelligent, and it was an intelligence that was a wisdom, an intelligence of knowing something deeper than he really should have known. So you might have this, you might just find that there are times, you know, and it's, some of this is stuff we take in from past lives, but you just show up to something and you're like, oh, I totally get how this works. Whereas other things, you're all thumbs trying to figure something out. It's not so much that you've worked hard and studied. It's that you've opened up a portal and it's up here. This is the spot when babies are born that is open. And it's a spot, you know, a lot of cultures will talk about that being like the spot of God. It's like the kiss of God can come in there through, and it can, it's as babies are very, very young, it's the place of remembering who they really are. And then isn't it ironic that as they get older, it closes and closes and closes, so that now at our age, what we're trying to do is reconnect with that space on an energetic level. It's still there. It's just a lot more presence. That's why babies are so knowing and feeling like they know. It's an instinctual thing to like go and nurse, or to feel hungry, or to, you know, just kind of follow their desires exactly as they appear to them. So claircognizance is that place of when you ask that question, what does this mean? Even though you have no proof, it's that place of knowing. It's that place of being able to say, ah, all of these other messages that are coming in, they have to go through here in order for me to understand and make meaning of them. Because it's very easy to get, you know, some of what I think Greg was saying in the very beginning about getting overwhelmed with messages. And the reality is that the claircognizance can help us not be in a state of overwhelm, because it can help us to make meaning of these messages. And sometimes we just pick up energy. I mean, there are, if you look at the world as an energy field, think about all of the different experiences that you could be picking up on. And some of them, just like you're flipping through Netflix or something, you know, some of the shows are going to be really pointless and stupid and you want nothing to do with them. But then there are other more meaningful shows that you may want to spend a little bit more time with. And so that is what claircognizance can help us to go into that discernment to say, I'm going to focus my energy here, not there. So we're going to play with this portal to knowing using the three other senses, intuitive senses that we just worked with. So we'll do another practice, another embodiment of it. So we're going to close eyes again, or eyes hooded. Again, starting with the breath. And noticing as you inhale through your nose, the way that the breath moves up your nose and hits your third eye and then becomes a lot more subtle, but you might just be able to trace it to the crown of your head, that home of your claircognizance, that home of your knowing without proof. And from this space, from this space of your claircognizance, begin to observe. This is the key with this particular sense. You see, you're observing the other forms of intuition. Observe your felt sense right now. Observe your clairsentience. Focus in on one particular sensation. And then staying in that place of your crown, just ask, what does this sensation mean? What is the significance of it? What is the significance of this sensation? And the first answer you get, let that be the right one. Now, we'll move to clairvoyance, that third eye space. From that space in the crown of your head, just drop a line of energy, like a connection point from the crown directly into the space that's behind your forehead in the center of your head. And silently from here, first we're going to put the screen out in front of us again and observing the screen from the crown of your head. Call in the energy of someone that you know, and let it be someone that you're not especially triggered by, or someone who's relatively neutral to you. Say their name silently three times and allow their energy body to appear on that screen. And then observe, what do you see? And ask, what is the significance of what you see? Finally, you can just Explode that screen in front of you again. Explode your connection to that person that you called in. And create a similar line of connection from the crown of your head to the space more or less between your throat and your ears. This is the space of your clairaudience, the space of hearing without words. And we'll do another bit of silence and listen. And if you hear any words or sometimes sounds or music or vibration, ask, what does this mean? Even if I'll invite you to use the field of actual sound, because that's nature speaking to you. What does that mean? What does that mean? There's a beautiful bird chirping in the back of everyone's experience. What part of that has a message for you? And coming out. Before you open your eyes and really come out of the space, I want to invite you. I had planned on having some time for journaling, but I had a feeling that we were going to go over in time. But I want to just invite you to sit for a moment and notice what it feels like to acknowledge that this is possible, that this has always been possible, that no matter how much programming, mainstream understanding, religious doctrine, dogma has appeared in the history of humankind, there has always been this line, this intuitive connection has never left us. And just notice what it feels like to give yourself this permission. You are intuitive. When you're ready, you can open your eyes. I would love to give you 15 minutes to sit in that space and just feel the power of awakening your intuition. But I want to respect everyone's time. Anyone have any experience with the clearer cognizance that they'd like to share before we close up?
I just want to understand, maybe I just need a little more information about the claircognizance, because mm-hmm. what I feel like it is it's understanding that what you are hearing or seeing or feeling is legitimate and is truth.
Mm-hmm. That can be part of it. Yeah. It's also, so yes. And that's, you know, this is a very vast type of intuition, this intuitive sense, the claircognizance is very vast. It's like you can think about it as if it's a question. What if it were possible to know things without having to study them? What if it were possible to interpret the things that you take in through the felt sense, through the visual sense, through the auditory sense? There's also times where people, you know, the Einstein example of tuning into something greater and being able to teach from that place of like, I don't really have a lot of, like, I don't, he doesn't have a lot of credibility, you know, intellectually speaking. I think he made up for it, but in the beginning, right, there wasn't a whole lot of intellectual credibility. Like people would say, you know, he's not going to really be amounting to much, but somehow there was something else. So this might be, you are stranded on the side of the road. Your car breaks down. You open up your hood and you go, I'm going to just do this and that, and that'll get me to the next thing. Yeah. Yeah. Or this is also one of the things that is most helpful in relationships, most helpful in relationships. When you have a known sense about something, about someone, you look at someone and you go, I know you're going to be good for me. And can't explain it. It's the vastest of the intuitive abilities, the intuitive senses for sure. So what are your takeaways? I want to hear what's everyone going to walk away with from this experience today? What are you going to practice? What are you going to remember? What are you going to draw on?
I really like the screen and I really like asking why. And I feel like those are new for my practice. Mm-hmm. And also it's just, you know, when I'm quiet and when I listen, I automatically start asking questions and getting answers, which is lovely, but I need to just not do that because then there'll be another message, which is much bigger than my little pea brain can think of, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead, Gabby.
Mine is short. I was just going to say, I enjoyed the silence. I have been more aware of the myriad of voices in my head. And so I really want, as you know, you and I have talked, just get even more and more familiar with them until I feel really good about discerning that softer intuition voice.
Thank you.
One of my takeaways is in a more general sense that, I mean, you and I have talked about this topic, and I guess the takeaway is just more confirmation, I guess, that this is what I've been, it's real. It's, these sensations are real. And yeah, just, I guess, just leave it at that. And all that opens up that pay attention. I value them. But like, I forget who said, you just need to remember to pay attention. Yeah. But yes, it's, this is real. I guess that it just keeps coming up. It's real. It's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep self validating. Yeah. And Mariana in the chat said, do more practice.
Yeah, much more practice. And I echo Greg's message about validation and to really like not pay attention, but just remember that it's possible, that it's not us that is creating all that things, that it's messaging us what needs to be here or done or whatever. But we have so many limitations because the dogmas you were referring to and the rational mind, that it's very difficult to get into the intuitive part of us, even because we have closed that because we are very intuitive at some point in life. So we close that to protect ourselves. So how to open up that without being exposed, mm-hmm. without being in danger,
yeah,
I will say.
Yeah. And just to clarify, is the danger about other people's beliefs, or do you feel like danger about seeing too much?
About seeing too much.
Mm-hmm. So I'll this is a great place to close. And thank you, Mariana, for that share. There's nothing to protect against. There's nothing to protect against. When I was trained, it was a lot of that. Oh, we have to protect ourselves against some people might have bad energy, quote unquote. And the reality is, every time, first of all, we're all one. So someone else's bad energy is not anything except for a reflection of some aspect of this universal field, this oneness, right? So there's also a reason why we come in contact with the energies that we do. There's a reason that oftentimes what will happen is that you'll get paired up with someone, doing a reading on them, doing a healing on them, and then you notice like, oh, they've got this thing going on. You talk about that thing going on, and it's, sometimes it's the point where you're like, this is what I've got going on to some degree. And so it's an opportunity to come back to not only keeping your gaze on them, obviously, the whole time, but then coming back to yourself and being gentle with that tenderness, that tender spot that experience opened up. There's a reason. This is not ever coincidental, what you see. So when you guys were reading my aura, what you saw was no coincidence. It was what you were, I always had, I have a difficulty expressing it like this. It's like, because I don't want to be like what you were being asked to see. I don't quite know if that's it. But what I mean to say is that there's a cosmic karmic connection when we tap into this space. Just like when you have a conversation with a stranger on the plane, and you're able to just drop in and then suddenly feel seen. Let everything that you see be an experience of you seeing yourself. So when you walk out of an experience, when you walk away from something and like, so I saw a lot in New York City, okay, on those subways, right? I saw a lot there. And every time I did, it would be a chance to be like, whoa, okay, that's that side of me that has been in the shadows. So thank you for giving me this opportunity to bring something out into the light. So there's nothing to protect against, ultimately. Yeah. We can talk about transmediumship at another month. That would be a fun topic, that idea of when spirits actually take over the body. That is something that we want to manage carefully, but it's still not necessarily something you need to protect against, because it's inevitable. It's going to happen. We're all going to get taken over by something somewhere at some point. Sorry. All right. Thank you for playing. Thank you for those of you who came live. Thank you for those of you who are on the recordings. I value everyone's participation. I value everyone's ability to show up how they can show up. Keep playing and let me know if things come up, if you have questions. And I really look forward to hearing about your progress in unfolding the intuition that you naturally have.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. It's wonderful.
Thank you. Great.